All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting for Tuesday, April 26, 2022. It is 10:33 a.m. We're on the record. We'll begin our meeting today with an invocation led by Commissioner Pierce, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Commissioner Bush, if you feel led to rise.
Dear God, we pause now to thank you for all the many wonderful things that you have brought us. We thank you for this beautiful day, and especially during this special time of the year. We ask that you be with those that are here today, help us in the right decisions. We ask that you be with our employees, keep them safe, and get them home to their families. We ask in God's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start our agenda a little bit out of order. Under County Commissioners, item A is considering possibly approve a proclamation for Older Americans Month. Item H is considering possibly approve a proclamation for National Crime Victims' Rights Week. Do I have a motion on those two items?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Do we have any representatives here today for Older Americans Month? Could introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Jancy Kimball, and I'm the CEO at Nutrition and Services for Seniors. And this is my first time in front of you in 2 years, so I'm very excited to be here and see you all. Nutrition and Services for Seniors has been around for about 40 years, and we have had the same mission to improve the lives of our seniors. And you all have been so supportive of our organization year after year, so it is evident that you care about this county and the citizens, the senior citizens of this county. And we are so grateful, and it is a privilege to stand shoulder to shoulder with you to keep them young, healthy, and independent. So thank you so much. And we are requesting that you proclaim May as Older Americans Month.
All right. Well, this proclamation reads, whereas the older adults in Jefferson County are the roots from which our community grows, who bestow gifts of wisdom and insight upon our younger generations and strengthen the bonds between neighbors to create a better place to live. And whereas the older adults in Jefferson County should be commended for their role in creating and bolstering the fiber of our community and nation. And whereas we wish to join together to extend assistance to the older adults of Jefferson County by increasing their opportunities to remain in their communities as active and engaged citizens. And Older Americans Month is sponsored by Nutrition and Services for Seniors, a nonprofit agency dedicated to providing innovative, effective programs that assist older adults in leading quality lives while maintaining dignity and independence. And whereas the purpose of this initiative is to publicly recognize their contributions to the diversity, strength, and unity of our community, and to identify ways to make their lives more comfortable and respectful, and to honor those who have significantly contributed to our community, economically, socially, culturally, or otherwise, by improving the quality of life in Jefferson County, Nutrition and Services for Seniors is hosting the 11th annual Deliver the Difference, benefiting Meals on Wheels, to honor Elaine Schellenberger on Thursday, May 5th, 2022. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Commissioners Court of Jefferson County does hereby proclaim May 2022 as Older Americans Month in Jefferson County.
Thank you so much. Right. We could not do what we do without your support, and we are extremely grateful. Thank you.
I hope it's an extremely successful event, and we'll look forward to it.
It is sold out, so we are hoping that everybody really enjoys it.
All right, and representatives of National Crime Victims Rights Week, Ms. Graver. Let me read this proclamation. It says, whereas the term victim is more than just a label and has legal standing and protections that go along with it, whereas victim services providers, advocates, law enforcement officers, attorneys, and other allied professionals can help survivors find their justice by enforcing their rights, whereas victim services providers and allied professionals can increase access to victim services and compensation areas that have been historically underserved, marginalized, and adversely affected by inequality by implementing culturally responsive services. Whereas National Crime Victims Rights Week provides an opportunity to recommit to ensuring that accessible, appropriate, trauma-informed services are offered to all victims of crime. And whereas the Jefferson County Victims Assistance Center and the Coalition for Victims of Crime are dedicated to helping crime survivors find their justice by enforcing victims' rights, expanding access to services, and ensuring inclusion for all. Now, therefore, the Commissioner's Court of Jefferson County does hereby proclaim the week of April 24th through 30th as Crime Victims' Rights Week, reaffirming this county's commitment to creating a victim service and criminal justice response that assists all victims of crime during Crime Victims' Rights Week and throughout the year, and expressing our sincere gratitude and appreciation for those community members, victim service providers, and criminal justice professionals who are committed to improving our response to all victims of crime so that they might find relevant assistance, support, justice, and peace. Signed this day by the members of the court. Ms. Craver?
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Commissioner's Court. I appreciate y'all. Like she said, I'm Misty Craver. I'm the program director for the Jefferson County Victims Assistance Center. I'm part of the Coalition for Victims of Crime in Jefferson County. And like she said before, it's been a while since we've been here. It's been a while. I'm sorry if we got a little rowdy at first. It's been a long time since some of us have seen each other. I brought my notebook. Don't be nervous. I'm not going to be here long. Didn't want to leave anybody out who was here, okay, as representatives from our coalition. We've got members here from the Garth House. We got members here from the Crisis Center of Southeast Texas, Department of Family and Protective Services. We've got members from Buckner, Children and Family Services, CASA, Surviving Parents of Southeast Texas, Family Services. We've got representatives here from MAD. We've got community members, people like Jesse Dwahoon and Chris Castillo, who have been on our coalition practically since its beginning. These are all members of our community and agency representatives. If I left anybody out, raise your hand and be recognized. But these are all people who, over these past 2 years, when we haven't been able to meet, when we haven't been able to do our regular candlelight vigil or acknowledge this week, these people have been out there doing the work for crime victims in Jefferson County. Our theme this year is rights, access, equity for all victims. And that's what we stand for, and that's what we do. So we really appreciate the support of the county as always. We've got city and county representatives here, people from the sheriff's office. Cities, police departments, they let us come to their office and do work there. The sheriff's office has us come and do training there. And it's been going on for this entire time. We're just reminding you that we're still there. And we've got an information booth with a table set up out in front of the jury and paneling auditorium with some information about some of the various agencies that we're involved with. Go take a look. Get a refresher, get some updated brochures, and contact us if y'all need anything. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Craver. All right, it's not on the agenda today, and we won't vote on it until next week, but David Smith, would you come up to the podium? David is retiring to the podium, David.
Hey,
to the podium.
Oh.
We went to high school together. He wasn't able to take directions then either.
Not too good. Isn't that right?
David's devoted 14 years of his life to serving the people of Jefferson County with pride and professionalism. He's dedicated his talents and services as senior equipment operator for Jefferson County Precinct 2 Road and Bridge. And before that, he'd had a long history working with concrete, with one of the few people at Precinct 2 that knew how to manipulate concrete and get those projects done. And whereas David has pledged his services as a senior equipment operator working for Jefferson County Road and Bridge Precinct 2, which includes following policies, procedures, rules, and regulations for maintaining roads and ditches, includes concrete work, asphalt work, driving dump trucks, operating rollers, backhoes, and other county equipment in Jefferson County Road and Bridge Precinct 2. And through hard work and commitment to excellence, David has earned the respect of his colleagues and citizens of Jefferson County. And having made a significant contribution to Jefferson County Road and Bridge Precinct 2 office, he's recognized for his unselfish devotion to the common good and to the welfare of the citizens of Jefferson County, and will be missed by his friends and co-workers. And so the Jefferson County Commissioners Court honors and commends David for his dedicated service as a valuable employee of Road and Bridge Precinct 2 and wishes him all the best in his retirement. David, we have a flag that was flown over the Jefferson County Courthouse that we want to provide you along with the certificate. Next week we'll get you to vote on and get you a formal part of your resolution. Thank you, David.
I've truly enjoyed my time with Jefferson County, and I've been blessed with the opportunity to work for y'all. Thank you.
All the best, buddy.
Judge. David, don't leave just yet. I just want to echo something that was said in that resolution about him earning the respect of his fellow employees. That says a lot, and that just about sums up David's work ethic. Since I've been there, he's been just top shelf worker, and we're all going to miss him very much. And you do have that respect from everyone. I want you to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, buddy. All right, as always, we're going to move to our regular agenda. You're more than welcome to stay for this, or you're welcome to take a second to exit the courtroom if you were here for a proclamation.
Anybody need anything?
All right, we're going to move to items under purchasing. Item A is consider and approve specifications for invitations for bid for replacement of outboard motors and rigging kits for Jefferson County Sheriff's Marine Division pursuant to Chapter 262 of the Texas Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and 2 Code of Federal Regulations, Sections 200.318 through 326. This is funded by the Port Security Grant of 2021. Item B is consider and approve specifications for request for proposals for professional grant administration and management services for CDBG grant disaster recovery for the 2019 infrastructure competition for Jefferson County pursuant to 262 of the Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and Code of Federal Regulations, Section 200.318 through 326. Item C is consider, establish, and approve a selection review committee to include one elected official to review responses received for requests for proposals for professional. I'll take that separately. Item D is consider and approve award, execute, receive, and file change order number 1 for contract for professional engineering services for Taylor's Bio Drainage Improvements under the CDBGDR program for Jefferson County with Dannenbaum Engineering Corporation for additional engineering design services to facilitate project option number 1, temporary bridge and roadway, which includes a building a temporary bridge and approach roadways to allow construction to be maintained at the existing bridge site. Change order will increase the contract in the amount of $140,655. Bring the total of contract amount from $365,512.73 to $506,167.73. Funding for the amount of the change order will be through a 50-50 split of the cost between the county and Drainage District Number 6. Funding has also been provided from the Texas General Land Office pursuant to Chapters 262 of the Total Texas Local Government Code, the County Purchasing Act, and 2 CFR, Section 200.318-326. Item E is consider and approve a contract renewal for an invitation for bids for a turn contract for marine motor fuel for Jefferson County with Suncoast Resources, Inc. for a third one-year renewal from May 3rd, 2022 to May 2nd, 2023. Do I have a motion on those items A, B, D, and E under purchasing?
So move.
Moved by Commissioner Ault. Second by Commissioner Senegal. Any discussion?
No discussion. Patrick, who's on D? Who's managing that?
Bunch of us. It's Griffith Mosley Johnson is the grant administrator on that grant. Also, you know, it's a coordination with DD6, TxDOT for that project to be completed. Dannenbaum Engineering is the engineer. Just kind of an update. I received an email with the commitment for the 50-50 split.
Okay.
We agreed to amend the interlocal agreement in the future once we settle with shuffling of funds at GLO, because there's a project, Ditch 107, that we will not do. And we'll move those funds up to Ditch 110 and also into the construction portion of the construction portion of Taylor's Bayou, which will increase the engineering cost or allow more money to come out of the grant for engineering. So hopefully when it all settles out, maybe we won't have to split the whole 140. But we're working with GLO. They've committed to a time extension, GLO has, to, I believe, August of 23. Then we're having a meeting Thursday at TxDOT to talk about the letting, and the engineer will be there to try to see what to keep with the bid schedule, the original bid schedule, and try to, not the original one, but the updated bid schedule for the construction of the project.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes, have it. On item C is consider establishing an approved selection review committee to include at least one elected official to review responses received for requests for proposals for professional grant administration management services for CDBG Disaster Recovery 2019 Infrastructure Competition for Jefferson County. Pursuant to Chapter 262, Texas Local Government Code, County Purchasing Act, and 2 CFR, Section 200.318-326. I would move to appoint as my representative Patrick Swain.
Judge, who's on the committee? Do we have a committee already?
We had one for the last one, but this is a brand new one. So.
The one you just voted on today.
All right.
We need at least one elected official on this.
I would move to appoint Commissioner Senegal as that elected official.
Two?
I'd like to appoint the engineer.
County engineer.
And leave one man down on the end.
Yeah.
You haven't appointed anybody.
I was thinking that. Kind of caught me off guard here.
I apologize to y'all. I should have mentioned something to you Friday about this. Good thing is we're not in a hurry.
go to synagogue.
I'll move to a point out that's rough.
Okay.
Happy to do it.
So this is for disaster recovery?
Yeah.
I appoint Mike White.
Okay. All right. So I have a motion on those five who were just appointed.
So move.
Second?
Second.
That's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Auditor, item A is consider and approve a budget transfer for Constable Precinct 1 for cost for summer presentation and events in the amount of $1,000. Item B is consider and approve a budget amendment for Road and Bridge Precinct 3 for Port Arthur maintenance for the replacement of 7 computers. Item C is consider and approve a budget transfer for Port Arthur maintenance for additional costs for security system for Health Department building in the amount of $3,391. Item D is to receive and file financial and operating statements for county funds only for the month ending March 31st, 2022.
Right here.
Item E is to consider and approve electronic disbursement for $790,209.08 to LaSalle for revenue received from entities for inmate housing. Item F is to, will be taken separately. Item G is regular county bills, check numbers 494456. Through 494657. Do I have a motion on items A through E and G?
So
moved. Moved by Commissioner. Second, been moved and seconded by Commissioner Senegal and offered. Any discussion?
One question, Patrick. Did we have any, I didn't see any write up or any information on these presentations. What are those?
The, under the constable?
Yeah.
I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's outreach. Just summer outreach programs.
Huh?
Summer outreach.
Okay.
Okay. Let's make sure from this point forward we get a letter to each member of the court advising us of just kind
the
of
details.
Like with our out-of-state travel policy telling us exactly what it involved.
Yeah, we can... we'll have Constable follow up with her plan on that and
thank
send
you.
It out to you.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Item F is to discuss contracting via subrecipient agreement with the Legacy Community Development Corporation for the purpose of administering the Emergency Rental Assistance Program Round 2 funding, DRAP 2. Mr. Swain.
Judge, Commissioners, we received a letter from the Regional Planning Commission, I think, Judge, you did, April 7th, indicating that after the Round 1 Emergency Rental Assistance Program was completed, which they anticipate to finish by the hopefully the end of June with the distribution of all the remaining funds, but they are needing to shift their focus over at Regional Planning to their core programs, and so they were declining to be involved with the distribution of the ERAP 2 funds. As part of Vivian Ballou with the, is here with Legacy Community Development Corporation. As part of the ERAP 2, one of the, or even with both of them, part of the frequently asked questions is can you provide the funds to another entity for the purpose of making payments more rapidly? And they identified in those questions that a nonprofit organization that has the requisite financial capacity and is being certified as a community development financial institution. I believe Legacy fits that criteria. They're already distributing some of the ERAP 2 funds on a regional rural basis. And I'll if there's any questions of Vivian to for the for their capacity to do this, but I think it should be a smooth transition. They will be on the Neighborly software, which is the software that is being utilized by the state and regional planning. So we hope that they can transition into that. Before we commit with it, it'd be the basically the same sub-recipient agreement we had with regional planning. Just obviously we'll update it for the ERAP 2 requirements and the changing the name and everything. And in dealing with the administrative cost, because It is a different, it's 15% administrative cost, excuse me, not based on the total amount, but based on what gets dispersed. That's a little different. So the other is, after we do that, I think, you know, guidance will need to be provided by from the court to Legacy on the priority, you know, of the distribution of funds. ERAP 2 is a little less limitations on what you can do, but I know the focus has always kind of been, has been with the court to make sure we worked with the JPs to avoid the evictions. And so that being said, that's the purpose of this agenda item, and hopefully next week we'll have this before y'all with the subrecipient agreement.
Okay, this is a discussion only item, so it doesn't require a motion and a second, but it gives the opportunity of members of the court to ask any questions of Mr. Swain or Ms. Ballou that you have, or any, make any comments.
Let me ask mine right now, Patrick. This is strictly going to be on the second round of funding.
Correct.
No ties to the first round of funding by the state coming in and evaluating and checking and everything of that nature.
No, they'd still be subject to audit. And there are some, between the two, you're limited to 18 months of assistance. If you had received assistance under ERAP 1,
okay,
you're maxed out to only 18 months.
So
what they could provide is probably 3 months is what it is, because it's 15 months under the first program. And so that's where, you know, that software, they will have to do that check to see if people have received that assistance. But the other is, you know, and Vivian had brought up some points, there's some housing stability type services that you can provide apart from rental assistance, you know, to keep people in their homes. And I think that's just, it opens it up for more usage of the funds. And it does have a longer deadline. I mean, it's, I think it's September 25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But there still are benchmarks you have to make.
Okay.
And we have spent no money.
No money in this?
In ERAP 2.
Okay. Do we have any particular deadlines that like the other ones that have
to be? Yeah, we've already probably missed one of those, which was March 31st, so we'll probably see a reduced award. Our original award was about $6 million. I anticipate, haven't seen formal, but I anticipate 20% of that will be reduced. So it'll probably go down to a total award of $4.8 million at this point.
And then I'm going to look at you, Miss. Could you come to the mic, please?
And we have received 40% of this in our bank account. So we've got 2.4 in the bank. So once we get on board, we can fund the project.
Knowing that we are in a crunch, you guys are ready to hit the ground running, because I'm one of those advocates hate to send back money, good earned money from this area back, because we don't know where it go once it leave here. That's number one. Number two, do you have access to, well, we paid for that computer program at Southeast Texas. Does that transfer over with you guys?
Yeah. Well, we have our own neighborly software. We actually went live today.
Okay.
So we're anticipating being able to access the data from Regional Planning Commission. That's something that we'd have to work out, because the license is in the name of Southeast Texas Regional Planning Commission. But for it to be a seamless transfer, we would need to have access to that data. So as Patrick mentioned, there is recipients from ERAP 1 are entitled to assistance under ERAP 2. So in order to avoid duplication of services, we would need to have access to that.
Is that something that we'll have to work out with this negotiation?
I think we can work that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Ballou, are you prepared to locate in other areas of the county other than just Port Arthur for clients that may want to walk in and visually speak with someone verbally?
Yes, sir. We've already historically worked in Hardin County, Orange County. We have an apartment complex that we own in Vidor, so we have access to an office in Orange County. We have relationships already with Hardin County. So we've already reached out to the city of Orange to see if we had space that we could use there. So we've already had that.
I'm talking about Jefferson County, Beaumont.
Yes, we have a Beaumont office. We have the Port Arthur office. And basically, we've made ourselves more mobile. We've already ordered laptops and tablets so that our caseworkers can go wherever they need to go. Yesterday, I was at Super 8 in Beaumont helping someone on a tablet with an application. So we find that we're going to have to go where the people are to make this work.
And that's my next question was about the outreach program for us with the ministerial alliances and different churches and wherever people are, is what I'm saying.
We've already spoken with the Ministerial Alliance, and we're going to continue that outreach. We're working with the Housing Authority, the apartment associations, landlords, we have a lot of lists of people that we've already reached out to, you know, since unofficially. So that right now we're just making contact with them.
And make sure you reach out to these JPs and emphasize that they're on the front line of trying to keep people in their homes.
Yes, sir.
Every opportunity they can do that. Thank you.
Any other discussion? All right, thank you, Ms. Ballew.
Thank you.
Under County Clerk, we have three items. Item A is to consider and possibly approve the appointment of Central Counting Station early voting ballot board personnel for the May 24th, 2022 primary runoff election to include Central Counting Station Manager Wayne Ozio, Tabulation Supervisor Jeff Ross, Assistant Tabulation Supervisors Mary Helm, Todd Frederick, and Mike Bain, CCS Co-Judge Clifton Simono, CCS Co-Judge John Stafford, and Early Voting Ballot Board Co-Judge Dana Carr and Co-Judge John Stafford. Item B is to consider and possibly approve the appointment of supplemental presiding alternate judges for the May 7th Constitutional Amendment Special and Joint Election, the co-judges for the May 24th, 22 primary runoff election to supplement vacancies in the list of judges approved for a two-year period beginning September 1st, 2020. And item C is to consider and approve the notice of the May 24th, 2022 primary runoff election. Do you have a motion on those items under County Clerk?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Bush.
I got a question. My question is, I got these this second and B, where you have the runoff and you have the different, I guess, location of people. I don't see where we have any names and nothing like that. Where are those? Yes.
It looked like
the one we looked at last week.
It was attached to the agenda. It's
has names on it?
Yes.
I don't have that, and I didn't have that.
The ones in yellow are the ones that need to be, that are new, that are being voted on today.
Haven't had that. Is it something we have to do today?
Yes, sir.
Who appoint them?
The parties.
Who?
The parties, the political parties. The ones in yellow, the ones in green were approved back in September of 2020, and there was a supplemental vote in 2021, November.
At green.
I'm sorry, would you tell me the color codes again, please?
The yellow.
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 This is what I got.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, we've done item A and H. Item B is consider and possibly approve the reappointment of Frank R. Rose as a Commissioner for Jefferson County Drainage District Number 3 by Commissioner Senegal. Item C is consider possibly approve and authorize the County Judge to execute an interlocal governmental agreement between Jefferson County and the City of Taylor Landing pursuant to Chapter 791 of the Texas Local Government Code for street and drainage repairs with funding that may be available per DR 4332, the Texas CDBG Disaster Recovery Program. Item D is considering possible approval and authorized county judge to execute amended tax abatement agreement between Jefferson County and Suez WTS USA for property located in the Suez WTS USA Inc. Project Clear Reinvestment Zone. Item E is to receive and file the oath of office and statement of officer of Joel E. Livingston Jr. to the Board of Commissioners for Jefferson County Drainage District Number 3, who was appointed last week. Item F is considering possible approval order of appointment for Gene A. Winston as Constable Precinct 8, Gene Winston Jr., to fulfill the unexpired term of Constable Harold L. Doucette Jr., who's retiring effective June 30th, 2022, pursuant to Section 87.041 of the Texas Local Government Code.
You can hold that up.
This doesn't become effective, so why don't we receive and file the oath next week?
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree with you, Judge.
So we'll pass on item G until next week. Do I have a motion on items B, C, D, E, and F?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes, have it. And under County Treasurer, we have one item, consider and approve quarterly report and wire for the state pool fees in the amount of $280,520.15.
So moved.
On that item.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah, have it. And Mr. Rose, is he here? Okay, Mr. Rose will need to come in to do his oath of office and statement of elected appointed officer. Now it's time for public comment. So if anyone's present in the courtroom, you're welcome to come to the podium, make any public comments you wish to make. If you are online, you'll need to press star 6 to unmute your line. Vernon Durden.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Thank you for all you've been doing in the Running Census program. I heard a good report this morning. I heard Mr. Swain talk about the transition of information and processes from one group to the next. But in the report from the new group, I heard that they have ordered laptops and hardware. In that, the transition from one group to the next is for the same process and for the same communities. I'd like to suggest that not only the programming, but also the hardware, being not having to duplicate buying laptops and other hardware, which would only tend to reduce the amount of money that would be going to those that need it. So I'd like for the county to think about, the commission to think about, auditing what all materials have been purchased for the process of affording the rental assistance program. Anything that would help to make that program transitional and easier, in that the new group would not have to purchase things that were purchased before. So I'd like for them to consider that, and also to consider that the boots on the ground are actually persons in the community being the committee of volunteers, see if that's possible to get the commissioners to appoint probably a volunteer from their group to be part of the rent assistance program. I made a suggestion to that group that Mr. Fugelier be part of that group to help the rent assistance program transition and also to identify members in the community, which they've been doing before. Frederick Fugelier.
Okay.
Yeah, a member of the rent assistance program, be appointed to that group to help work with them.
Which group are you talking about?
The volunteer group, Beverly Hatcher, other community persons, interested persons.
But I'm saying being appointed to what committee?
With the committee to work with the new committee for the rent assistance program.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, any elected official have anything they wish to bring to the attention of the public?
I don't want to bring anything to the attention of the public, but Laura, last week you got up and you gave us some information. I haven't seen the plan for that, and if I remember, I might be the longest tenure guy around. Last time we went out for voting equipment, and I went back and looked at, and I don't normally do that, looked at what I asked last week. We normally, as a court, if I'm wrong, Patrick, let me know. The funding that comes to the county comes to the commissioner's court. Commissioner's court is the one that gets audited if we don't have any money to spend correctly, correct?
Correct.
So I want to see the plan, the appointment of people that's on there. I want to make sure this court have some say in that. And I want that done as soon as possible because I know we are on a time schedule. We can lose this money if we don't do it in time. I want to make sure this court is a part of.
Of course you will be. We are just doing some preliminary research now, getting prices together. There are two vendors. To receive 100% funding, we have to be up and ready to go by the November election. Our internal timeline is as soon as possible after the November 24th election. We would like to schedule workshops where the vendors will come in and make presentations to you all. It's your decision, of course, but we would like to look at different ways, things that are matter to our staff as far as storage and maintenance and those expenses. So I think we're on the same page.
I understand. I hope it's the May 24th election. I want to make sure we did that because I received some calls and it was in reference to saying, yeah, you're in the right direction with having the citizens make sure they put their hands on it so they will know, because that's how we did the last time, and I strongly stand up for Mr. Simeon, which represent the blind community and several other groups, so we can make sure they have an opportunity to give us their opinion. I just want to make sure points were well taken and put on the table.
Yes, sir. I heard you last time, and the workshops will be, you know, open to the public, and I would hope at that time they could come forward if that's agreeable with everyone else.
Judge, I believe in recognizing family when they're doing a good job and leading a legacy of service. And I didn't know if a lot of people knew, but Misty is Commissioner Bush's daughter, for those people that...
She didn't want anybody to know that.
I know. Well, I had to say that because he said something earlier that reminded me of my daughter that we clash. I can tell her to go straight and she'll turn, and you and Bo can tell her to go straight and she'll fall off the end of the earth. So, but I know he's proud of you, and I am proud of you. And proud to, I've been knowing your dad a while, but he was a police chief, and it's ironic you're still serving people for his victims. So that's something that I just was feeling good about when you stood up there and spoke. And I felt like I need to say something for my friend.
I'll follow that with what I told them a while ago. When at one point in time in my life, my mother told me, she said, one of these days, I hope you have one just like you. And I thought Misty was going to make it. But anyway, I'm proud of her too. Thank you, Commissioner.
And one last one to you, Ms. Engineer. I want to apologize. I was out of town, and I missed the celebration for Victor. And I think he's been here 33, 34 years. Public, I want to apologize because he's always there as a person working in engineering with my staff. I did not get that memo in time to let them know, so I want to make sure publicly because he's been a super asset to my precinct, I know.
Well, I can tell you, you missed some really good cake.
Judge, I want to give a shout-out to Commissioner Senegal. He has bailed me out with a lot of equipment this last couple of weeks as we tear it up. And I think we've already gone through his reclaimer. It's in the shop. And I think the old truck, we're trying not to tear it up and return it this week. But I want to thank him because we were in a hard press to get a road done. And appreciate you bailing us out.
Actually, I'm trying to get you to wreck it so I get a new one.
I'll talk to Bush about that.
All right, I want to mention something, a couple of things. Number one is Proposition A. Early voting started yesterday through May 3rd with the election on May 7th. Some of these propositions, one of the propositions, and the Sabine Nation's Navigation District cannot go out and advocate for this, but members of this court can, which is a proposition which would allow the Sabine Nature Navigation District to use a portion of its current tax revenues as collateral for loans to construct projects, which basically to support the channel deepening project that's underway. It would not result in any increase in taxes, does not create or authorize any new taxes. It just allows them to take a portion of the taxes that they currently receive to dedicate to the repayment of some loans that they have planned through the Texas Water Development Board that lowers interest rates and actually makes the project cheaper as opposed to going to a bank. There's several hundred basis points of reduced cost associated with doing it this way. So it's actually benefiting the taxpayers, and so I'm strongly in support of that. I have put some of these little cards down here on the front of the rail if anyone wants to take them with them. And, of course, there are more available. The second item is recent days. The Jefferson County Appraisal District has sent out notices of appraised values. I've seen on social media where it's caused quite a stir and a lot of people quite upset. I likewise got some shocking information in the mail. I don't know one person up here out of the five that asked for any additional increases, no additional revenues, no additional taxes. We managed our budget in a way that we're okay. I also want people to understand the makeup of the appraisal district. People look at that envelope that comes in the mail that says Jefferson County Appraisal District, they automatically think the Jefferson County Appraisal District is part of Jefferson County, and it's not. It's a separate entity that's set up by state law. As a matter of fact, the county has one of the smaller tax allotments out of the governmental entities when you compare us to cities and school districts in the area. So if you look at your tax bill and you go down to the county, you'll see it's one of the smaller numbers on there for what we're actually collecting. But our Jefferson County tax assessor collector does collect the taxes once they're assessed and she remits all those funds and divides them up among the school districts, the cities, the drainage districts, navigation district, and so forth. We have the opportunity here to elect, with the number of votes we're allocated by state law, we have the ability to elect one director on the board of directors at the appraisal district. And that director is a member of the board of directors of the appraisal district, not the appraisal review board. They set the budget for the appraisal district. So they have one vote on how much the budget's going to be for them to mail statements, to hire appraisers, to do all that kind of work. Has nothing to do with the appraisal review board. Under the law, the state district administrative judge is the person who appoints the members of the appraisal review board and reviews contests that people have to their notices of appraised values. So the county has absolutely nothing to do with the appraisal review board. We don't appoint anybody to it. The state employee does. And while I understand, you know, nobody up here that's sitting on this bench likes paying property taxes any more than any of the people that don't sit on this bench do. But an understanding of the system and an understanding that it's an appraisal process that's set by state law, not locally, is I think fundamental, and an understanding of the fact that the Jefferson County Appraisal District is not a part of Jefferson County, other than the fact that we pay a portion of their expenses along with all of the units of local government in Jefferson County. So, to the extent that there are condemnations or complaints about the way that the system works, I have no problem with people having those complaints or those condemnations, but it's an issue of state law. It's the state of Texas and the legislature, because counties are an arm of the state, and they have made a decision about how operations of local jurisdictions are going to be funded. And if that conversation wants to take place in Austin about a different method of funding, you know, income taxes, increased sales taxes, anything like that, then that conversation is one that takes place every 2 years up there in Austin. So, I understand the complaints and I sympathize with many of them, but I want everybody to have an understanding of how the system works. That's all. Mr. Durden?
Yeah, Judge, I do appreciate you, what you just said, and I didn't know that you were going to be speaking on that, but you're correct. A lot of folks have received increases on their property evaluation. I was the president of the Jefferson County Appraisal Review Board, and you're right, we are appointed by the judges, all of the members. What the public needs to know is that the Jefferson County Appraisal District is required by law to make assessments based on a general knowledge of property values. So Jefferson County was low, and it was brought up, it was increased. What you also members need to know, that just because you receive that notice, you have an opportunity to go before the review board. Every homeowner that received that letter has an opportunity to go before the Jefferson County Review Board and state your case for whatever you feel is necessary in that evaluation is not proper. No one has come to your house and looked at your property to determine that evaluation is correct. The only way you can make the county know is to go up and protest that evaluation. You can talk about your air condition. You can talk about your flooring, your outdatedness of your home, the roofing, impending properties around your property that may devalue your property. So even though you receive that notice, it is incumbent on you to go to the review board and tell them what you feel is incorrect. So
thank you, Mr. Durden, for bringing that up, because I want to. You reminded me of something. That's this: the number of homes in the Mid-County area that were damaged by the TPC plant explosion, some of which are not yet repaired. They got a decrease in their values last year because of the lack of repairs at their house. If you have still not repaired, you have to reapply. You have to give notice to the appraisal district of the lack of repairs this year, because it doesn't automatically roll over into the next year. So that's just for those people who were impacted by the plant explosion, or maybe by other hurricanes or weather events.
That's correct. And I also know that when you come up, when you go up there, the review board is to believe what you're saying is true. I'm not telling you to go up there and lie, but go up there and tell your best story about your property, because you ought to be believed. If you got dogs barking, if you got a neighbor that's got a lot of parked cars that's not repaired in their yard, that can bring the value of your home down. So just know that the process, while you did receive the letter, the process does work in your benefit if you go ahead and protest.
Protest. But make sure you know this. It's not the county. And if you have some complaints, you take it to your state rep, your state senators, because that's who basically put it on. Now, it's because of what the judge said, we are quasi-ran by the state, but it's not us five up here. Our taxes in this county hadn't gone up in almost 15 years, I'm proud to say.
Yep, you're right. And like the judge said, we have the smallest group. There are counties that have, we have one panel, there are counties that have 10 and 12 panels here in the protest, because people protest. So go in and protest.
Okay, and I will also mention, and this is going to be somewhat complicated, and, you know, obviously there's a limitation in Texas on the amount that a homestead can go up, and some people's values are frozen because they've reached age 65. Theoretically, at least, assuming tax rates do not change, every year governmental entities have to calculate their effective tax rate, and that is, what's the rate have to be in order to raise the same amount of revenue as you raised during the prior year? You're then allowed to go up 3.5% above that amount. Used to be 8%. Without being subject to a rollback election. And so theoretically, at least, even though your value goes up, and assuming tax rates don't change, and I could say in 2004 the tax rate here was 42.5 cents per $100 valuation. 2007 it was 36.5 cents. It went down 6 cents. And then since then we've gone down slightly on our tax rate. So Commissioner Alford's correct. We have not had an increase in over 15 years. We've only had decreases. And with state law's impact, if valuations don't change, then theoretically your tax bill could never go up more than 3.5%. But of course, as valuations go up, you know, if a house And we have seen this since Hurricane Harvey, is that housing prices have gone up. As lumber prices and things of that nature have gone up, valuations will go up, which does result in, for those who don't have frozen values, increases in the tax bill because of increased valuations, but not because of tax rates. But theoretically, because of our calculation of the effective tax rate, you should also be brought down some even if your appraisal increases because of the limitation on the amount we're able to raise above what we raised the prior year. I hope that's clear as mud. Anything further, Commissioners? Not, we have a closed session, which will begin as soon as we're able to get the cameras out of here. Thank you all so very much for being here today. If there's nothing further, we are adjourned.